early in the morning, rise into the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find a reason, reason things went wrong. Got to find a reason why my money's all gone. I got a Dalmatian.
Probably it's not, well, it's not probably, it's not early in the morning, guys. It's noontime, and it's time for Drive to HR. And this is your host, Nisha. And we have a wonderful, wonderful guest joining with us from Inspirity Jobs. And she's going to talk a wonderful topic, which is, I'm so curious to learn more about it. And we're going to talk about salary transparency. So stay tuned. And if you are out there listening to Drive Through HR, and if you would like to ask any questions to our guest, hit the hashtag DTHR. And so we will be able to pull that up. So without further ado, let me welcome our guest, Jill Silman. Jill, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Oh, thank you so much, Nisha. Happy to be here.
Well, we are excited to have you here with us today, Jill. So, Jill, if there is anyone out there, any of our audience who doesn't know of you, we would appreciate, you know, if you can talk a little bit more about you, who you are, and what you do.
Okay, sure. I guess the short version would be that I entered into the industry, particularly into the recruiting industry, back in the days when I may or may not have worn a Swatch watch to my first job. So I've been doing this for a long time, primarily in the recruiting space, having some dabble in different parts of, you know, kind of a generalist background, I guess, with HR. But have been particularly responsible for recruiting, both with a large international staffing service. I owned my own for a while. I merged it in with a large regional player. And then for the last 3 years, I've been aligned with Inspirity, particularly in their recruiting services group. So been around this business for a very, very long time, longer than I wish to admit to sometimes.
Well, glad to hear that, an exciting journey of you. And we are also, you guys are doing great work at Inspirity Jobs. So we have been noticing your work for a longer period of time. So we wanted to have somebody out there from Inspirity Jobs to join us and share your wisdom. And we're glad that we got that opportunity today.
Oh, thank you. So, thank you. Yes, I do think that we're being very impactful in the industry. So.
So, Jill, what's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, I don't know that I'm losing a lot of sleep over it necessarily, but I do think that I'm really intrigued with the conversation about this whole idea of salary transparency, right? Because, well, a few months ago, I guess, one of my colleagues here at Inspirity, John Feldman, he wrote a blog about salary transparency, and he asked some questions in the blog, like, how would you feel if everyone at your company knew your salary and vice versa? You know, how do you think it's going to affect the interoffice relationships of the company? And would the risk really be worth the reward? And those kinds of questions kind of started to pique my interest about the whole thing. You know, would I be willing for everybody in the organization to know my salary? Do I really care what everybody else's salary is? So I started to think about it a little bit more. We have a very we have an interesting plan at Inspirity, and we have some salary transparency in that our bands or our groupings, we know what those are. We know what the min and the max is for each of our salary grades, but I don't know how much my coworker John makes or how much my coworker Kara Singh makes. Nor do I think I really care so much, you know, but I do think that there are a lot of people out there that do care. So I started to look into the topic a little bit more, subsequently wrote a few blogs of my own and did a couple of webinars on the topic, and because it's really becoming a topic that a lot of people are talking about now. You know, I think it started a couple of years ago where it really gained some momentum when Jill Abramson was ousted at the New York Times, and it was all about her learning about, this is what it was alleged to be about, I guess I should say, her learning about what her predecessor had earned at the organization. And then Obama created that executive order last year, about almost a year ago today, where federal contractors now have to tell everyone's salary to the DOL if they want to continue to work on federal contracts. And then, I don't know, I was sent a little clip of the Oscars because I didn't watch it that night, but even Patricia Arquette in the Oscars, she started talking about the whole idea of salary transparency. And it just kind of made me think. Yeah, I read a lot of stuff. The people who are proponents of this whole idea say that it's got a lot of benefits. That, you know, you can it helps an employee to determine their own value to the organization. It certainly helps in scrutinizing inflated executive salaries. And it should be able to help with eliminating any kind of gender or race gaps. But still, for a lot of us old school people, the thought of sharing one's salary still seems just a little too personal, I think. There's still a lot of taboos, I guess, a lot of traditions around salary conversations in the workplace. I dare say one or two of the listeners, some of the people who are out there listening, they may still have that line in their policy statement that says something like, you know, discussion of your pay is grounds for termination, something along those lines. So,
that would be the general thought around when somebody is coming and discussing about the salary, right? And it is a fascinating issue that we have been noticing that, you know, whenever any company is saying, hey, pay transparency, it's going to boost your culture of your organization and probably attract more candidates. But we cannot deny the fact that, you know, knowing the salary of employees and team members or your own boss that earning high amount of salary, that does make some sort of a jealousy or probably the feeling of underappreciated, you know.
Right.
So being a person that you have handled salary transparency in your organization, how have you faced that sort of a challenge at your organization?
Well, because we do it in a way that I think is kind of a blending of the best of all worlds, in that we know very well what it takes to grow to another level within our organization or to move out of one salary grade to another. So you have a very clear path of what's expected to you if you want to pop from a salary grade 7 to an 8 or an 8 to a 9 or whatever it might be. So you know what it would take to get to a job like that. So I think that's what it's all about, right? I want to know where I stand in the organization, and I want to know what it's going to take for me to get to some other place. It doesn't always mean going up in the traditional sense of climbing a ladder, but maybe over and slightly up, kind of, you know, a lattice, if you will, to be able to get to that place that the person wants so that they feel like they're contributing to the organization and that they're being paid fairly in return. I can just imagine, you know, especially in a sales or a customer service environment, and isn't that what a lot of us are these days in some form or fashion? And we produce all these metrics around how many calls did you make? How long did you talk to that customer? How many problems did you resolve? Here's all your metrics, and those are put on the whiteboard every week at most organizations. But yet, if I can see that I'm consistently at the top of that heap, and I know that I'm only being paid, say, 20% more than the person who's at the bottom of that list, that's going to create some friction there, I believe, and could create some problems. So we can't be transparent in half of what we're doing and not transparent all the way through.
Correct. Well, even if the salaries are transparent or not, you know, your employees are going to keep wondering about how much your boss or peers are going to make, right?
Right.
And it only means that they have to guess the answer if the salary transparency is not there. But then, you know, you started talking about the benefits of salary transparency,
right?
And I kind of interrupted in the beginning. So I would appreciate if you can talk a little bit more about, you know, what kind of a benefits an organization can occur by having a salary transparency structure within the organization.
Well, I think just to kind of piggyback on what you just talked about, but when people feel like, or when they're assuming, I guess, when people assume what other people are making, you know that what happens when you make an assumption, right? But if they're constantly worrying about how do they fit into the order, or if they're being paid fairly compared to their coworkers, clearly their mind's not completely on their job. So I think to take that that concern away, that constant worry away, would number one, for the employee, creates higher job satisfaction, and for the employer, know that you have an employee who's more focused on the real things, the things that are most important as far as production out of the employee. So I think that that constant concern or worry, whether it's in the forefront of someone's mind all day for 8 hours of their day, or if it's just lingering in the back somewhere, it means that they're a little distracted by those sorts of things. So I think by letting them know, it would increase their job satisfaction. I think that's definitely one of the advantages. And I think this whole idea of trust, this whole idea of knowing that we've been treated fairly can just, you know, create that trust, that bond between the employer and the employee. You know, when we were talking about coming on air, and we had talked a lot about the millennials, and their their demand for this idea of transparency. And I think that that's just ingrained in that particular generation. We've brought them up to talk about an awful lot of stuff as they're coming in, to disclose a lot of information about themselves, whether it's on social media or whether it's about telling the school nurse that I'm on Ritalin or whatever those sort of situations might be. But when they come to work, they're bringing that whole idea of disclosure, self-disclosure with them, and that's begging for the trust to go both ways, and the information to cut both ways, I think. I think a third advantage, I guess, if you will, of salary transparency would just be the increased motivation. If I know what it takes to get to the next level, then I'm more likely to want to put in the work or to do those things that are going to move me ahead, move me to my end goal, if you will. So I think that there's also increased motivation because I know what to do. I know where I fit, and I know where I want to be, and I know how to get there.
Correct. Well, talking about millennials, being a millennial, yes, I would really appreciate that salary transparency because it gives us a realistic view of where I fit in or how can I add value in how that organization values it and treats it, and accordingly I can, you know, tweak the performance. So going back to one of your points, you know, the demotivation factor, you know, money is not always the best incentive, maybe, but the biggest deal breaker that I see is less money can remove that motivation factor, right? So, have you had any experience that a low salaried employee has come up and approached you and kind of reminded you about the low salary factor? And if at all that situation has happened, how did you, you know, tackle that?
Well, as I mentioned before, I used to have a company, and those kind of conversations did happen. But I think it's not necessarily about understanding that I have a low salary. It's a fair salary, right? It's a fair salary for whatever work is being accomplished. So if I know that I'm being paid fairly and that wage isn't exactly what I want, then what do I need to do to get to the wage that I do want? And how much harder or how much differently do I need to work, or what do I need to work on to be able to move to that? Because I truly think that it's more about the idea of fairness than whether it's particularly low, right?
Correct.
You know, and that whole fairness idea, you want to talk about a millennial or a generational issue, that fairness idea is totally wrapped up with the millennial generation. And for good reason. I mean, that's kind of the way that we've brought that generation up in the world. And as a mantra for a generation, I think we've seen what their ideas, and I keep saying their because I'm clearly outside of that generation, but yours, if you will, Nisha, but we've seen what that whole fairness thing, you know, look at the records industry. The millennial generation changed the way that we buy music now. And it was just because they perceived it as being unfair. It's not fair that I have to buy the whole album or I have to download the whole album when all I want is one song. And that single generation with that single-minded motivation for fairness changed that entire industry. And I think it's a lot like that in the workplace. The consumerism ideas that the millennials have brought into the marketplace are the exact same sorts of things that they're bringing into the workplace. So I don't think there's a huge difference. but I don't think I answered your question. What did I do if somebody came in and asked if I didn't, you know, if their wages were too low? I think it was a part of, I guess I did answer that with the whole idea of fairness.
Oh, yeah.
To try to explain, here's why you're making that amount of money. Here's the job. Here's its value to our organization. And if you want to make more, we've got to put you on the path to increasing your skill set or your output, whatever it might be.
All right. All right, Jill, here is a question. An organization who haven't had a chance to make their salary more transparent, but they're going on a traditional platform of keeping their salary a secret, but then eventually they wanted to make their salary transparent. So at that case, what would you recommend for them to do? Some tips and techniques, if you would like to suggest to them, or some of the challenges that they would be having in those initial moments, and how can they tackle that?
Well, I think, first of all, they need to consider their culture. You know, some cultures, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. A lot of companies that are very sales-driven organizations, a lot of times that information is pretty much out there anyway, right? That a lot of people understand the compensation structure and how people are paid. So if you're, you know, in a situation like that, I don't know that it's a huge leap to move into salary transparency, although some of those who have worked from a position where it has been, you know, very secretive, if you will, I think in order to be able to put it out there, that there's going to have to be a certain amount of communication, of kind of running in front of the whole idea of salary transparency, because there's probably going to be outliers, right? There's going to be that person that's worked for your organization for 35 years, is still in some sort of an admin role, but is absolutely priceless as far as the organization is concerned because of the history, the knowledge that person brings and just the experience that they've had within that organization. So you're going to have some outliers. So be able to be prepared for those kind of conversations that come up around some of these people who wouldn't necessarily fit into the packages as nicely as others. There may be some people in your organization have super high, hard-to-find skills. They're kind of those purple squirrels, if you will, that are working within the organization. Those may be outliers as well. So I think to be able to be out in front of that and be able to readily explain. You know, the whole idea of transparency is going to shine a big light on a lot of practices and a lot of policies of the organization. So you need to make sure that you're going to be able to stand up, under such a bright light. So I think to be able to consider your culture, kind of identify where the problems might be in advance, and know that sometimes this can be really emotional. So be prepared that there's going to be a lot of talking and there's going to be a lot of conversations that are going to have to be had if you do begin to implement something along the ideas of a salary transparency and new pay policy, if you will.
I'm sorry to stop you right there. We're talking about emotions. How about if an employee is approaching and saying that, hey, I don't want to keep my salary information transparent? And in that case, how would you respond?
So if he wants to keep it quiet, he doesn't want his salary broadcasted along with the rest of the, you know, if the company's moving to a new direction. I think that there's some consideration here. I'm not seeing salary transparency as we're going to go make a spreadsheet and stick it on the cafeteria wall so that everybody knows exactly what the other person is making. I would probably, if I was advocating one particular position, I'd probably use my own organization as what I would advocate for, to be very clear in what the min and the max could be for a particular role and what it takes to move from role to role. But I don't know that I would want to share exactly what John Feldman makes, what Kara Singh makes, what
Correct.
Phil Zillman makes within the organization. So I think that you can alleviate a lot of that emotion or that fear or that if you stuck to a policy that looks a little less like I'm just going to fly an airplane over the building and share everybody's salary trailing behind.
That's true. Well, it can be a little bit of a generalized information rather than very specific and personalized information, right?
Right. I think that that's probably, especially if you had no transparency beforehand, I think that that would be certainly an easy way to get into it. I think if you have companies like, there's some companies in this space that have been talked about ad infinitum. Some all buffer, some of those names, some of those companies come up all the time. And I think if you're creating an organization from scratch, then to be able to put that salary transparency in from the get-go, that's a little bit different than having had a 28-year-old company and then you're trying to move to complete transparency. But I think if you're building a company from the start or a division or a group from the start, I think you've got a lot more leeway there. And then everyone who comes into the organization just knows this is the way it is. And if you're super uncomfortable with it still, maybe that's not the best culture for you.
Correct. Well, throughout your experience researching and talking about salary transparency, you know, have you ever noticed that salary transparency factor alone are going to attract job applicants and better candidates?
Well, I haven't personally witnessed this except from the outside looking in. I do have testimony from folks who have this in place that they say that, yes, it is a difference maker. It's a difference maker from how they attract people and the kinds of talent that they can bring in. And it has been a huge differentiator in their retention numbers in that because people are there's just more trust there. There's more engagement there with the employees, and an engaged employee is going to stay with you. And so while I don't know that I've got statistics in my hip pocket from my experience that I have read and seen from the outside, a lot of other organizations that have put this into play and have definitely seen their retention numbers really stabilize at high levels.
Correct. Well, in the very beginning, you talked a little bit about, preventing discriminating against certain employees. So how does this salary transparency help companies prevent those sensitive factors like, discrimination against certain groups?
Right. And I think that was really probably behind Obama's decision to create that executive order that demanded for the federal contractors to share the salary information with the DOL, because I think it was aimed directly at pay gaps particularly between genders, but it would also prove out pay gaps between, any kind of protected class that you will, young versus old, race, anything. And so I think that clearly, if you're going to put it out there, there comes that bright light again, right? And it will shine on those kinds of discrepancies, that people could very clearly or very easily be able to point out if you were more transparent with your numbers. So, I definitely think that it will help in that regard. I think that Patricia Arquette, when she was at the Oscars, that's what she was really kind of talking about, right? As far as the salary transparency goes. But I think definitely if you're going to be sharing your numbers, it's going to be very easy to track patterns within an organization. So if they have less than righteous policies, those are going to be pointed out very quickly.
Correct. Well, Jill, thank you so much for joining with us today. And we are down to 5 minutes at this point. And I want to switch the gear a little bit and ask you some of the personal questions.
Sure.
So, throughout your journey of being an HR leader, what made you successful in your career?
Oof. Wow, that's a good one. I think being... this is just my advice to people coming up after me. Being open to opportunity, to being I guess that I'm not really hung up necessarily on titles and even so concerned with does my career path look like what other people would expect my career path to look like. I've been more about pursuing opportunities, things that I thought what might be a good fit for what I could give back to an organization, plus what I could, selfishly get from an organization. So I think just being open and being available to opportunities as they might present themselves is something that I would definitely want to pass on to somebody who's coming up. behind me. And I think also not being afraid of surrounding yourself with people who are better than you are.
Absolutely.
I think that that's, you know, that's a real secret to success, because a lot of the places that I've been and things that I've been able to do was squarely because I was standing on somebody else's shoulders. And so being able to surround yourself with people who are just a little bit better than you are, I think is a great way to reach heights that you never would have been able to do on your own.
All right. So what would be the first thing that you do every day that keeps you excited to, you know, go to work and interact with your team and then go through the entire day?
Yeah. Well, I love my team, number one. So that's a real good thing. So I just personally enjoy being around them regardless. And it's kind of a, you know, we've all been kind of thrown together in and as a group, I don't know that we would ever be working together except that we're in this space at this place at this exact time. But I absolutely enjoy my team. And I'm lucky enough to have a job that has so many different components that no 2 days are ever going to be the same for me. And for me, that's the sort of thing that keeps me motivated and keeps me enjoying life, because I thrive on that, you know, things just not being the same. If the quickest way to run me out of an organization would be to give me a job where Tuesday looks exactly like Monday and you don't have high hopes for Thursday looking any different.
Correct. And share some of the interesting gadgets or tools that you use in order to manage your time so that you can have a great work-life balance, if you believe in work-life balance, though.
I believe in work-life balance. I'm in that baby boomer generation where we're definitely figuring out the second half has got to be better than the first half of our career. So definitely into the whole idea of work-life balance. Very fortunate to work for an organization that that believes wholeheartedly in that. And so some of the tools, I don't really have to have some of the tools because our organization is built on such a premise that it kind of happens naturally within mm-hmm. Our work life. And I tell you what, I'm tied to a calendar unlike I've ever been tied to a calendar before. I guess maybe because it's automated this go around. Since I've been at Insperity, we kind of live and die by our calendars and each other's calendars, and that's kind of new for me. Forever, I was one of those that carried the day timer around, and I knew where I was supposed to be, but I had no idea what, you know, how it impacted other people or what was going on in my group. But we do a lot of that. I know that sounds really mundane, and we've been pretty active with social media to stay connected. So it may be this whole idea of work-life balance that I may be off at 5:30 or whatever, but I may still stay somewhat connected to my peers and to our clients and our candidates via social media.
Well, we can see that you guys are doing a great job out there in terms of social media and improving and increasing your presence out there. And through your branding activities, I've seen that you guys have that logo on your photographs, I mean, Twitter profile and LinkedIn profile of everyone, which
right.
is just really, really
right.
great.
So, yeah.
So my final question should be, okay, why should HR be on social media?
Well, it's all about brand awareness, right? It's all about engaging with our employees now and engaging with those prospective employees, because you know, I'm a firm believer in that nothing that we're doing, you can no longer say no. You can't mm-hmm. say no to a candidate. It's no right now, but it's not no forever, right? So
right.
by being out in social media, to being able to build your brand and to be able to demonstrate that you are that company that people think you are, and your social media profile can surely impart that kind of information out to everyone. So continuing to just keep it out there and keep it warm to those people who might be potential employees in the future, I think is invaluable to us, because, you know, without the people, we don't have, you know, we have no reason for being. So
Absolutely.
So I think that's the main reason that, and I am so happy, you know, Kara Singh is our social media manager for our group at Insperity, and she just does a great job of keeping us out there in a truthful, very transparent way, in that, you know, what she puts out there is really who we are. If we're doing something goofy at work, it's on there. If we're doing something serious at work, it's on there. And so people can get a real good impression of who we are as an organization and who they might want to align themselves with.
Well, a big shout out to Kara Singh for introducing me to you, and
right?
We had this opportunity to connect with you at Drive2HR. Well, Jill, thank you so much again for being here with us today and sharing your valuable wisdom with our audience. So where can our audience connect with you and get hold of you?
My Twitter handle is at jsilman, and Silman is S-I-L-M-A-N, I-L-M-A-N. But I'm on pretty much all the platforms, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Facebook. But if you stay with some configuration of Jill Silman or Jay Silman, you'll probably be able to find me.
All right. So have a wonderful rest of the day to Jill and your team at Inspirity Jobs.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.